A few weeks ago, we talked about scripture where Jesus was teaching about being salt and light, and that we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and talked about how salt is used as a preservative. You know, salt, you can preserve things in salt. It's a very, at one time was a very expensive and necessary commodity because they didn't have refrigeration right like we have now, and so the only way to preserve meat was salt, and so it's used as a preservative, and also it changes the flavor of things. When you cook or when you sit down to eat, sometimes you take a bite of it and it's kind of bland, so you put a little salt on it, you change the flavor of it. And that's what we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to act as a preservative because we're sharing the gospel, and we're preserving people, sharing the gospel with them so they can accept Jesus Christ and have life. And so it preserves life and brings life to people. And then, you know, we're to change the flavor of society around us. You know, when we're around, people ought to notice a difference. Paul said in one place, come out from among them and be ye a separate people. So we're not, you know, as Christians, we shouldn't fit in with the crowd everywhere we go. You know, we shouldn't look just like the rest of the crowd. We shouldn't talk like the crowd. We shouldn't act like the crowd. If we're amongst a bunch of unbelievers, we should be noticeably different. And we should change the atmosphere, the taste of things, if you would, by our presence and by the way we live our lives, the way we conduct ourselves, and change the way people feel about Jesus Christ, mostly, and doing that by sharing the light. You know, sin represents darkness, but Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. And we're supposed to be little moons. We're supposed to be reflecting Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go, people ought to see Christ in us. When you look at the moon at night, what are you seeing? You're actually seeing the sun reflecting off the moon. And so when people see us, the way we're acting and the things we're doing, they ought to be able to see Jesus reflecting off us as we live the life that God's called us here to live. Jesus said in John 12, verse 46, I'm come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And so we're supposed to be that light, reflecting that light, sharing that with others so people won't continue to have to live in darkness, live in sin. Again, in 1 John 1, 5, tells us that this then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So we're supposed to be reflecting that light, the light of Jesus Christ. There being those little moons reflecting the life of Jesus Christ, where we go, whatever we do, people need to be able to see the light of Jesus Christ in and through our lives, and so that we can not bring glory to ourselves, but bring glory to God. If we're going to be salt and light in the world for Jesus Christ, then we need to spend time with him. We need to spend time learning more about him. We need to spend time learning what his will is for our life. There are different ways we do that. One way is to spend time in his word. We need to stay in God's word. We need to read God's word. It's hard to know what he wants us to do if we don't know what his word says. Okay? You say, well, I just remember what the preacher said. Well, sometimes preachers make mistakes. And besides that, some preachers twist the word around to make it fit a particular group or whatever. So you need to get in it yourself. You need to know what the Bible says yourself. That's the way, one of the ways we find out how to be the light and how to be like Christ, as we look at God's Word and see what God's Word says. Another way that we learn is by spending time with Him in prayer, communicating with Him, talking to Him, but not just talking to Him. So many times we kind of have the idea that He's like a Santa Claus, you know. We want to come to Him and give Him our want list, you know, sit on His lap and give Him our want list, and then as soon as we get through with our want list, we jump up because we got things to do, places to go, people to see. We don't stay there long enough to listen to Him and to hear what He might want to say to us. You know, prayer is two-sided. None of us likes to get in a one-sided conversation. Don't you really love to you don't talk to them, but get in a so-called conversation with somebody that never comes up for air? I mean, they're doing all the talking. All the talking. You think, boy, he's got to come up for air sometime after a while, you know. But no, it's on and on and on. And you want to interject something, and there's never an opportunity for you to even interject the thought or say yeah or no. Prayer for a lot of people seems to be that way. They're doing all the talking, and God's supposed to do all the listening, and they don't give God a chance to say anything. We need to listen also. So prayer needs to be a two-sided conversation, not just a one-sided conversation. So we need to spend time with Him in prayer. We spend time in worshiping together, as His Word tells us, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to come together and worship and encourage one another and build one another up and strengthen one another. That's another way we learn how to get closer to Him and find out exactly what He wants us to do, because we need to know exactly what He wants us to do as individuals. You know, we don't just need to know what He wants the church to do, the body of Christ. I need to know what He wants me to do, you know, because I'm a part of the body of Christ. And if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then I'm hindering the body of Christ. You know, I'm like that sore toe, that little toe, you know, that reaches out there, put on there to catch a coffee table leg, you know, and it hurts. And, you know, any part of the body, every part of this body, the Bible says, the body of Christ, the church, is like this physical body. We are all a part of that body. And if we don't fulfill the part that He's called us to do individually, then we're hindering the whole body. We're making the whole body sick. We're crippling the body. And so we don't want to be a crippling part of the body. We want to make sure that we're doing what He's called us to do, so that we are making the body more healthy. And for us to do that, we need to know what God's called us individually to do. He's called every one of us to do something specifically. God has not created any of us just to breathe air, you know, just to take up space. He has talented every person that He's ever created. He's talented them and putting a call on their lives. Now, a lot of times that never materializes, and they never do what He's called them to do, and that hinders His work. But as believers, as Christians, we need to be sure that we know what He's called us to do, and we need to be about doing that. It's not all, you know, all of us are not called into what we call a leadership position, but we're all called to be a part of the body of Christ. And we may be a prayer warrior, you know, that person that's back in the background that's just praying for the Lord to speak to those people who are out front, who are out there actually doing the work. We're all called to live the life, to be that example, be that salt and light. But as we think about becoming more like Christ and accomplishing what He's called each one of us to do, we certainly need to think about our prayer life. We need to think about our communication with God, because that's a very important way, a very important part of what God has called us to do. We're looking in Matthew again this morning, and Matthew in chapters 5, 6, and 7, if you read those chapters, you see that Jesus is talking. He's teaching on several different subjects. You know, you can learn a lot about how you are to live your life by reading those chapters to learn more about how He wants you to live your life, what He wants you to do. And over in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to focus on this morning, chapter 6, and we've been beginning at verse 5 and reading through verse 15, and we're going to talk about prayer, about our prayer life, and talking about how we pray. You know, Jesus gave us a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And we've recited that prayer over and over and over and over again. Most of us can recite what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. But how many times have we recited it and never stopped to think about what it's actually saying? What are we saying? You know, when we recite that prayer. And so this morning I want to look at these verses, and Jesus precedes the actual model prayer by giving some instructions. There in the first several verses, 5 through 8, he talks about why we pray. It says, beginning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus speaking, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." So here, Jesus is saying basically in a nutshell, don't just pray to impress others. Don't just pray to try to impress somebody else. This carries beyond prayer. This is carries through for our total lifestyle. If you're doing the things that you do just to impress somebody else, then Jesus said you have your reward. Just previous to this, matter of fact, in the first four verses of this chapter 5, he's talking about when you give your alms. You know, he said, don't do it in a way that you bring attention to yourself. So, you know, you always want to make sure that everybody sees that you gave that or you did that. Because he says basically when you do that, you need to enjoy that pat on the back, or you enjoy that attaboy, you know, because that's your reward. That's all you get. There's no heaven or reward, you know. People give a lot of times and to try to get their name put somewhere. In a lot of churches, I've upset a lot of people with my beliefs on this, and I may upset some more, but this is the way I understand that scripture. Now, there's some churches that every part of that church has somebody's name on it. You know, because somebody gave the money for this pew, or somebody gave the money for this pulpit, or even the communion table's got somebody's name on it. The windows all have somebody's name on it. The doors, that, you know, every part of the church got somebody's name on it. He said, when you give it, don't give it for your praise. If you do, you got your reward. But you give it to glorify God, to bring people to Jesus Christ. So here Jesus is talking to us now about prayer. He's just talked about the giving of gifts and doing that to get attention or to bring glory to yourself. And now he says, even when you pray, don't pray just to bring attention to yourself. Don't pray just to be glorified yourself. He says, when you pray, don't do like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues. Is there anything wrong with praying, standing in the synagogue? No, it's nothing wrong with praying, standing in the synagogue. It was a practice. But when it's the motive behind what you do is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about motives, you know. There's a motive behind what we do. We do great things a lot of times, but we got a bad motive, you know. Our motive is to bring attention to ourselves or to get somebody to glorify us. And when that's the motive, it destroys your reward. You know, yes, the action's good. Yes, what you did for that person is great, but you miss out on a lot of blessings because your intent is wrong. Your motive was wrong. And so here, there's nothing wrong with praying, you know, standing up. There's nothing wrong with praying in front of people, as long as it's prayer to glorify God and not to glorify self. You know? And so that's where we start off. And Jesus, as he's preparing to give that sample prayer or to teach them how to pray, he begins that by telling them that your motive must be sincere. It must be to glorify God. If your motive is self building, then your motive is wrong, and you're barking up the wrong tree. Enjoy that pat on the back, because that's all the reward you're going to get. So be careful your motive when you pray. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, he said, Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God. That includes prayer. That includes your giving of gifts. Whatever you do, you're helping somebody out. You're, you know, being a good neighbor. Those are all great things if you got the right motive. You know, if you're doing it for the glory of God, and that's what Paul said. He said, whatever you're doing, it don't matter if you're eating or if you're drinking or if you're praying or if you're helping somebody out. Whatever you do it so that it glorifies God, not so it glorifies yourself. And so, as he gives us that warning up front, I'm going to give you a model prayer, but let me tell you, whenever you pray, make sure that it's not to bring glory to yourself. Make sure that it's to glorify God. And then he begins to give the model. He gives some things that we need to include, that we need to think about when we're praying. Beginning in verse number 9, he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. after this manner, pray ye. Not necessarily word for word. You see, you don't have to use these words, particular words, in this matter. But he said, kind of in this pattern, if you would, pray. Your prayer should contain certain ideals and ideas, should involve these intentions. Okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, he said. We should acknowledge God as our Heavenly Father. He's the Creator of all things. The one who created us in His own likeness and image. He's the one who loves us enough that He was willing to give His only begotten Son to die on a cross after being beaten beyond recognition, spat upon, a crown of thorns pressed into His head, a spear in His side, hanged on that cross, ridiculed and falsely accused. And He took all that willingly because He loves us. We're praying to the God who was willing to allow His only begotten Son to do that. I don't understand that magnitude of love. I've told you a lot of times. I can't understand it. I have two sons. I don't have a son that I would willingly stand back and see ridicule like that when I could do something about it. But God loves us just that much. And that's the God that we need to be talking to, that we need to be praying to. When we come to Him, we need to acknowledge Him as our Father, which art in heaven. He's the Creator God. He's the one true and only God. He's the God who is in heaven and sees everything. He knows everything that's going on, even in the secret places of our hearts. You see, He's the God that not only knows what we do, He knows why we do it. He knows the motive behind it. You know? He's that God. And so we acknowledge Him as that, our Father which art in heaven. And then He says, hallowed be Thy name. You know, God's name is holy. It's sacred. It deserves to be revered, to be lifted high. God deserves to be glorified, to be put ahead of any and everything else. He deserves to be first and foremost always in everything that we think about and in everything that we do. God should be hallowed. He should be lifted high. He should be glorified. In the very life that we live, it should glorify God. It should lift His name high. It should hallow the name of God because of the way we're living our lives. And so we begin that prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, lifted high is Your name. Glorified is Your name. Verse 10, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Pray for God's will to be done. We need to pray always for God's will, not our will. How many times do we pray for things selfishly? We pray for things because we want it to promote us. We want what we want, and we want God to honor that and bless that. You know, go buy a lottery ticket and you pray that, Lord, Make that a winning ticket. No. You go pick your car out. The car you want. You're going to buy a car. After you pick the car out, you ask God to bless that. And help you be able to pay for it. It's kind of backwards, you know. What we ought to do is pray for God's will to be done before we ever go shopping for the car. Say, God, show me the vehicle that you want me to purchase. Lead me to that lot. Lead me to that person who has that vehicle. But instead, we go where we want to go. We look at the car we want, and then we ask God to bless it. We got things turned around. We get the cart ahead of the horse, as the old saying goes. Our priorities are kind of confused a lot of times. We need to be praying for God's will to be done, not ours. We need to pray for His will to be done here on earth, in our communities, in our nation, in our world. We need to pray that God's will is done here. And we're part of that. And there are a lot of responsibilities that go along with that so that we can influence that by being salt and light, by taking our responsibilities seriously, such as going to the polls after we've prayed and asked the Lord for direction and wisdom in casting our votes, then it's our responsibility, it's our obligation as Christians. If we're praying for the Lord's will to be done on earth, and we're a part of whether or not that happens, we need to fulfill our obligations. Okay? Did you know that a great percentage of professing Christians don't go to the polls? They don't vote. And we're praying for the Lord's will to be done on earth. And God's leading us to support the things that He honors, that honor Him, and we don't fulfill our responsibility. So we need to pray for God's will to be done here on earth, but then as we're praying for His will to be done on earth, we need to be listening to Him and seeing what it is that He's encouraging us to do to make that come to pass, to influence that, so that His will is done on earth. As we pray this prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are, in essence, committing our lives to His will. And we're committing our lives to be that salt and light that will help encourage His will to be done here on earth. We should always pray for His will. I've heard preachers, radio, different things, condemning us for praying for the Lord's will to be done. We call it the name it and claim it bunch, you know. It's those that, if you're sick, it's because you don't have enough faith, and what you're supposed to do is demand God to heal you. And if you pray for the Lord to heal you, if it's His will, then that's a wimpy prayer. But I beg to differ with that. Because if that's a wimpy prayer, then my wimpy Savior prayed that wimpy prayer, and I'll just keep praying those wimpy prayers. Because Jesus, when He was about to be crucified, remember? In Luke chapter 22 and verse 42 said, He prayed saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. We ought always to pray for God's will to be done, not ours. We don't demand things from God. He has every right to demand from us. And that He don't normally do. He gives us the opportunity to make that choice. You know, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He could demand that every one of us accept His gift of salvation. He doesn't do that. He gives us a choice. You can take it or leave it, you know. Here's the gift. It's there. If you want it, it's yours for the receiving. But He don't force it on you. We pray for God's will to be done in our lives. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. As His will is done in heaven, it should be our desire that His will would be done on earth the same way. His will is done in heaven. His will is not always done on earth. I think we can all give testimony to that today. When we look around and see the things that are going on, the things that are being promoted in this world that we're living today, that are disgusting, that are certainly not in His will. But so far, He's allowed it to take place. But remember the so far, because He's already destroyed this world because of sin. That rainbow, we saw some this week, that reminds us He'll never destroy the earth with water again. But He didn't say He wasn't going to destroy it. He said next time it's with fire. How much longer is He going to put up with it? Only He knows. But we got a big obligation in being the salt and light to do as much change as we can do, to cause as much change as we can cause in this society that we're living in today. And we can only do that when we're praying, God, let me do Your will today. Show me what You want me to do that's going to affect the people that I come in contact with today in a positive way. It's not going to bring glory to me, but it's going to glorify You and bring glory to You. Because I want Your will to be done here. And where does it start? It starts in my life. Yes, I'm praying for others. But I got to take care of number one first in this particular sense. Because if I'm not praying for the Lord to give me direction and help me to live my life in the way that it glorifies Him, so that what I do today is going to be fulfilling His will, then what right do I have to pray that somebody else will do that if I'm not going to do it myself? We need to set the example. We need to be leaders. So we pray for God's will. Nextly, we pray that our needs are met. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Praying for our needs to be met daily. Praying each day for our needs to be met in such a way that we'll be able to fulfill the call He's placed on our life today. Not praying that He gives us a pile of money so we can retire and live a life of luxury down the road. Nothing wrong with making plans. But we're praying that He meets our needs. Give us this day. Lord, give me today what I need. Food, whatever I need today to bring glory to You. God, I ask that You give me that. Give me the wisdom today to make wise choices that will glorify You. Lord, give me the words today so that when I encounter that person that You're going to put in my path today, give me the words to say so that I can encourage that person, so I can witness effectively to that person, so that I can be what You have called me to be, and so that I can bring glory to You today. Give us this day our daily bread. The things that we need now. We saw Him do that. Remember? When He rained manna down from heaven. And they had gathered just enough for each day. Not enough for the week. But enough for today. If they gathered more than enough, that excess rotted. Just enough. So we pray, Lord, just give me what I need today to be the witness I need to be, to go where I need to go, to do what I need to do, to be that witness that brings honor and glory to Your name. We're only beginning. We're not going to finish this prayer today. But I think we got a pretty good start on what we need to be doing. And one thing we need to remember always, it ain't about you. It's about Him. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about me accomplishing what He has called me to accomplish here today. To affect somebody else's life and mine. To lead somebody closer to Jesus Christ. Or to lead a lost person to faith in Jesus Christ. That should be our goal. And that's the way we need to be praying. That He'll give us exactly what we need to be able to accomplish that today. Father, God, I love You and thank You. Thank You so much. I thank You for Your love. And God, I thank You that You have allowed me to be a part of what You're doing and what You want to do in this community. Lord, not for any glory for self, but for Your glory. Lord, I pray that You would help me. God, that everything I do, everything I say, everywhere I go, every action, reaction, and expression would bring glory and honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord, every day as I wake up to realize You've allowed me to be a part of another day. And I need to do everything I can to glorify You in this day that You've given me. Lord, there's one here today who's never trusted You to be Savior and allowed You to become Lord of our life. God, I pray for that person right now that Holy Spirit speak to that person. Deal with that heart. Convict them. Cause them to realize the great need of trusting You to be Savior and allowing You to be Lord of their life. Lord, to begin to enjoy the blessing that You have prepared for us. You said You've come so that we can have life and have it more abundantly here and now, as well as eternal life to be spent with You in heaven. So, Lord, for that person who's never trusted You, let today be the day of salvation for that person. Lord, if there's one that's made that profession, that commitment, but they've allowed Satan to distract them, discourage them, and they're not where they need to be in their relationship with Christ, I pray, God, as the Holy Spirit again convicts and draws, that they will come to the place of recommitting their lives today and say, from this day forward, I'm going to live my life in such a way that God is honored and pleased. Whatever needs exist in the lives of the people here today, God, I pray that You'd draw us to those decisions right now. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. It says, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come.